Well, a very good evening out there too, and thanks for tuning in this Monday evening here on Terrace Talk, coming to you as it always does, live from our studio here in Tralee. And tonight's show, it's a long one, there's plenty of entertainment and value on it as well. And first of all, a big thanks for all those warm comments from last week's show for the score winners, and they were absolutely fantastic, and we might read some of them out later on as well. Now, this week we'll look back at the Kerry ladies' defeat in Croke Park yesterday at the hands of Armagh in the company of Dan Kearney. A lot of comments in already on the game, get your comments in there. Dermot Kearney, he's going to check in with his monthly review of Kerry FC, who are, I suppose, on a fantastic vein of form, including their home win last Friday night in the League of Ireland. What was their 50th competitive game as well? So hopefully on to bigger and brighter things with that. Tomás O'Shea gives us his views ahead of Kerry's opening under 20 football clash with Clare on Wednesday evening. And then we're joined by the Garvey's Tralee Warriors, of course. They join us ahead of their two national finals this weekend as their under 20 look to defend their title against Aina on Saturday night, while the Development League's team as well look to make history as inaugural winners of their league. They face off, of course, against Carrick Cruisers there on Sunday. So after 7 o'clock this evening, we'll be joined by those. And finally, we are joined by some players and management from the Kerry Schoolgirls team that competed recently in the Costa Brava Cup. All that and even a little bit more as well. And if you want to join the conversation this evening, don't be afraid to give us a call at 066 712 3666, or you can text us on WhatsApp there as well, 083 300 3300. Ivan's on the phone and Keane is on the sound as well. Now, the Kerry ladies at No Joy Croke Park yesterday for the Kerry senior footballers and their beat, I suppose, to win back-to-back Division 1 league titles, as Armagh proved just a bit too strong for Kerry in Croke Park on what was another fantastic day for ladies football in the county. Dan Kearney joins us, as he always does, after games. Dan, I presume nobody left Croke Park yesterday saying we left this behind us. I think it was fairly evident that the best team won.
Oh yeah, absolutely, the best team won. Armagh were that much sharper, that much fitter, faster, I suppose you could say, on the day. They deserved their win. They were a better team than Kerry, and I suppose they produced it when they had to, you know. And I suppose particularly in the third quarter of the game, they blew Kerry out of the water, really. They got 1-6 without reply after Lorraine Scanlon's goal, you know. That kind of put it up to them. But then Armagh went down, they got 1-6 without reply, 1-3 for Amy Mackin. She kind of came into the game there after being well held in the first half. And I mean, I suppose that was, you know, that's the championship quarter, as they call it. Mm-hmm. And they blew Kerry away. So they deserved it overall. They were the better team. Look, the Kerry management admitted the same thing after the game. They said they deserved it. They had always said like that Armagh would be ahead in terms of fitness, etc. You know, they were kind of in a different training block to Kerry, and Armagh were kind of continuing the trend of Meath Division 2, Division 1, Kerry Division 2, Division 1, and then Armagh last year Division 2, and now claiming the Division 1. So there is a trend there, like, you know. And without you said, like you said at the start there, they fully deserved it.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I think that's the view of nearly all the people. Going back into the game, though, I suppose on the build up to it, in fairness to the lads, I mean, they kind of took the league game by game and see where we go kind of attitude, avoid relegation, kind of landed into a final. I won't say by accident, obviously, you get there on results. And it's probably, like you said, maybe their training wave isn't gearing themselves for this. But needless, when you get to Croke Park, you want, and there was a big build up and there was great support and the whole lot. And in that first half, Kerry, you know, I suppose didn't start very well, but I mean they got a purple patch at the end of the first half and got level at half time. So going in at half time, hopes would have been high.
And it would, yeah, because I suppose, look, Kerry didn't play well in the first half, and you know, Armagh pushed ahead. I think they went 1-4 to, was it 1-1 ahead?
Mm-hmm. They went up 3, yeah.
And but then Kerry rattled off the last 3 points of the half, you know, and you kind of were going in at half time. And you were kind of thinking, yeah, look, we didn't play so well, you know, still in the game. They only scored 1-4, but, you know, still in with a huge chance. Then Lorraine got the goal 3 minutes into the second half, and you're thinking, yeah, we're going to push on here, like, but as it transpired, no, that's not the way it went, like, you know. But, yeah, definitely, the first half was kind of a strange enough game in a way, like, you know, because it was very cagey. Mm-hmm. Both sides were very cagey. Both sides were turning over the ball. Armagh did look threatening, you know, in broken play. They were lethal on the counter attack. But look, Kerry, for the most part, they were keeping them at bay. But you know, it was Kerry's problem. Really, was when they got the ball up front, they weren't getting it in quick enough. and they were being smothered out, and that led, you know, to the lack of scoring, like, you know. But like, to their credit, like you said, they did fight back, and those 3 points before half time, you know, left it level, and you were thinking, you know, after Lorraine's goal that they're going to push on. But no, it was the other way around, Armagh. You know, they kind of upped the gear, I suppose, and inspired by McConville there, really, the centre back. She had an amazing game. She was outstanding, I thought, you know, and her runs caused us loads of bother. But yeah, look, in the finish, I suppose, you know, as hard as Kerry tried, you know, I'm just thinking of a point there that Amy Mackin scored in that third quarter, and it was, you know, it was a culmination of Kerry were attacking, and you know, we had the ball inside the D and looked like a great chance, and then a hand pass went straight, and Armagh broke at pace and ended up with Mackin, and she popped it over the bar, and that was an absolute killer, you know. It was like, oh, you know, we had possession, we were playing nicely, they broke down the field and kicked it over the bar, and you know, for me, that point really kind of was a sucker punch. Even though Kerry scored a couple of points after that, you know, they fought back again. You know, they were trying really, really hard to get back into it. Brought it back to three. They were down six, brought it back to three. You know, it was just too much, really, and in the finish for them to call back.
Yeah, absolutely. Talk to us about some of the performances that sparkled. I mean, obviously, I'm going to tag Mary Ellen Bulger. I mean, a very difficult season for her and her loss in between the family and everything. To deliver a performance as good as that yesterday, it certainly is one of the standout performances for a goalkeeper, in particular in a Division 1 final in many a year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there was at least, I mean, she made three great saves throughout the game. Two of them were absolutely brilliant. You know, she saved one with her leg there. It was kind of like Peter Schmeichel-esque. If you're a Manchester United fan, you know, it was brilliant the way she used her body to get in the way of it. And I was delighted for her that she was able to make those saves, because it could have been a different scoreline altogether if she hadn't been on form and making them. So she did really, really well. She's had a good league, you know. She played four games. She was kind of sharing it with Ciara Butler there. Ciara played three. Mary Ellen got the nod for the final, so she can be very happy with her league. I suppose if you're looking for Kerry players, really, that I suppose throughout the league that maybe came on board or came on, you know, as you do, obviously it's easy to pick out Emma Dineen as well, like, you know, she had a very, very good league, and huge asset Deirdre Carney there as well, very, very good league, you know, again coming into the side. She gave a couple of hard tackles as well.
She really did. She doesn't hold back, to be fair to her.
She's a good solid fullback, like, you know. And I mean, they'd be the two players after coming into. And I thought Mary O'Connell, I thought she really came of age in this National League as an intercounty footballer. I mean, she's always had promise, but I think she has looked fitter and leaner, and really now is a top class intercounty footballer. And
A bigger test than the likes of Caroline O'Hanlon with 39 years up on the clock and 23 years of senior intercounty experience. And you could see that experience yesterday, I suppose, maybe in the third quarter, where she didn't need to do a whole pile of running, but she knew where to be, and she was kind of the quarterback in a sense, and that experience. Well, playing against a player of that quality, I mean, that's a huge learning experience that certainly will hold positive into the future for the likes of Mary O'Connell as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you're learning all the time from these players. Like, you're consistently learning. I mean, look, if Mary O'Connell can take out of the game, you know, the way Caroline O'Hanlon moved, you know, and her intelligence on the ball, you know, and her, like, Caroline O'Hanlon always has time on the ball. Every time she gets a ball, there's never a rush, you know, and that's always a sign of a great player. And she has been a great Gaelic footballer. She's still playing top class netball too, by all accounts.
That's right, for Northern Ireland, yeah.
Yeah. Do you know, so she's a serious competitor. And like you said, Mary, she played a lot of O'Connor Cup this year, up against top midfielders as well. And I mean, Division 1, National League, every midfielder is a top class midfielder. So she's learned and improved big time, and she will continue to improve. Like, and like you say, marking players like Caroline and Helen would bring you on big time. There's no doubt about it.
A lot of comments in then, and we won't go through them all. They're kind of, you'd swear to Jack O'Connor night, I mean, they're kind of finely balanced on both sides of the border. But one of them is our impact off the bench. I mean, we played Armagh 2 years ago, and Daniel O'Leary's impact off the bench was crucial in that final. The same two teams again, actually, Armagh and Ting. Was there a concern that we should have had more of an impact maybe off the bench?
Look, I suppose, you know, sometimes the game is balanced in a way that you will get more off the bench, sometimes you won't. Like yesterday, okay, maybe the opportunities didn't come, our way of our substitutes when they did come on. Of course, look, there's a lot of pressure on Danielle coming on every time. Everybody expects her to do something magical, like, you know. She showed for a lot of ball when she came on the last day. Like, it mightn't have gone her way, but like a lot of other Kerry players. But no, I wouldn't be worried going forward about the bench, Donald, because, I mean, the bench all through this National League campaign has been one of the pillars of this Kerry side. You know, just because you don't get an impact in one game doesn't mean that your bench is any way weaker or anything like that, you know. It's just sometimes the game goes away from you and it's very, very difficult to make an impact. I mean, if you look at some of the subs that came on yesterday, Amy Harrington, young player, massive future. Kira O'Brien came on there near the end there. Katie Brosnan. They're all very, very good players. Like, you know, sometimes a final has run away from you by the time you get on the field, you know, and that you can't make the impact that maybe you'd be hoping to make. But look, overall, I wouldn't be worried about our bench at all coming into the championship. And I think, look, just because you're beaten in a final and you haven't a huge impact off the bench on the day, that it means that the bench is any bit weaker or anything like that, you know.
Absolutely. Stay with me there then, a couple of comments coming in. As I said, you can divide them into two heaps, I'd say. The crowds that went to Croke Park yesterday was terribly poor. Why did the Mains County League go ahead? I'm sure a couple of more thousands would have went if they didn't go ahead. That's a question, I suppose, for other authorities rather than us. The Kerry senior ladies need to look for new players. I thought their half forward line yesterday did not perform as well as they have done, and we were unable to get ball into Louise Murray Hertig. All the people in Kerry giving out about Kerry losing, we were looking to get past them 2 years ago, and surely the league is not to be all and end all. Let's regroup and win Munster and go on to win the All-Ireland. And of course that is what we have to do now. We have to regroup, we get back into a Munster Championship. A Munster Championship we haven't won since 2017, and one that we're going into with a Cork team that kind of maybe are a little bit out of form, but Championship of course is different. But Waterford yesterday, out of the blue, and maybe not out of the blue, they survived in Division 1. They beat Galway, which is another big result for them. So going into a Munster Championship, you have a quality side like Waterford. You have a Cork side who are probably feeling a small bit sorry for themselves, and they themselves want to rebuild. And you have a Kerry side maybe looking for a little bit of redemption as well. So it is going to be a good Munster Championship.
It is, yeah. There's no doubt about it. And I suppose the great thing about it is that, you know, it's starting on the 20th there of April, so against Tipperary in Fitzgerald Stadium. So you're back on the horse fairly quickly, like, you know. I mean, the disappointment of losing a National League final has to dissipate there, and you know, they got to get back in action again, back training and ready for that. Like, and it's kind of week on week. Then after that, you're 27th of April against Cork, and you're, I think it's the 4th of May against Waterford there in the last game of the round robin. So it's going to be very interesting. Look, my opinion before yesterday's final was that this Kerry team was going to win the Munster Championship this year. It hasn't changed on the evidence of yesterday. would you be a small bit more worried? Of course you would. Do you know? Of course you would. I mean, like you say, that was a huge result for Waterford yesterday. I didn't expect it. I thought Galway would do enough to stay up. Like, but geez, there's some battles down in the data. There's no doubt about it to continue to have Division 1 football now in 2025. Cork, beware of a wounded animal, you know. I mean, is like the, what was it, the Mark Twain thing, like, is you know, rumours of their death.
Oh, there's a noise, far too sudden,
you know, they're gone down to two, but look, at the same time, they have to be respected. Like they're still Cork, like, and they're going to give Kerry a battle of it. Like,
yeah, absolutely. And going down to two is no bad run either, considering that their own teams that have come out of two went off to win Division One as well. Donal, for the love of God, Jack O'Connor would not have a back able to mark Amy Mackin. What a left leg! Thought her marker did well for as long as she could have had. Eilish Lynch, to be fair to her, I mean, outstanding in the first half. I thought Amy Mackin is probably she's on a different planet, maybe, to an awful lot of players, but Eilish Lynch done fairly well on her. I thought
Eilish did very well, like, you know, particularly in the first half. I thought she stuck very, very well to her. Amy Mackin's a very difficult player to mark. If you watch Amy Mackin, like, she's one of these players, you know, there's no great swing to her leg when she's kind of a clutch, you know. She can kick it very, very sharply, very, very quickly, and that's extremely difficult to mark. And she's two-footed. She's very mobile. She's quick. She's a complete footballer. She's probably, at this moment in time, the best forward in the country. Do you know? At this moment in time, she has everything. Mm-hmm. I thought Eilish did very, very well. It opened up in the second half, and Amy Mackin, you know, it was a huge threat. But she was hugely helped as well by Kelly Mallon, who is kind of under the radar a small bit, in the sense that she's been overshadowed by Amy Mackin. But I thought Kelly Mallon had an outstanding game yesterday for Armagh as well. I think she scored 2 points from play, maybe five overall, a couple of frees there as well, like, and she's had a very, very good league. She's put up some good totals in the league as well. So yeah, between the two of them, and they combined very well. Even Mackin's goal there, which was an absolute rasper into the top corner, you know, it was a brilliant goal, like, from the edge of the large parallelogram, and it was Mallon that passed that into her as well. And of course, Niamh Coleman's goal was a shot from Amy Mackin that came off, again, kind of a very, very snappy, quick shot, like, very, very difficult to block down, came off the crossbar, and Niamh Coleman batted in. Like, but look, Amy Mackin is just, that comment by your listener there is a very, very good comment, because she's definitely the best forward in Ireland at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Donal Mary Ellen Bulger, what was a difficult season for her, I was delighted personally to see her yesterday play so outstanding. Well done, Mary Ellen. Mary Ellen Bulger proved once again that she is a player for the big occasion. Far too many other players, however, had an off day. They will learn from this, I hope. Another difficult defeat for Kerry team in Croke Park. I thought Kerry looked very tired all the way through. Maybe it's a heavy block of training ahead of the summer. I still think we are in good shape for an All-Ireland challenge. I suppose there's an element of that then. You know, different teams are on different training platforms at different times of year. Kerry last year, we were probably the Armagh, as you said earlier. We were probably training a little bit, maybe more. It takes probably a bit of time too to get back in, or maybe it's just a case that, you know, you can't go full tilt all the time. Kerry were in the All Ireland final last year. They might need an extra 3 or 4 weeks. Jack O'Connor last year, after their All-Ireland, was saying, you know, it takes a little bit longer to get back into it, and they looked a bit leggy in the early rounds. Is there an element of that, maybe, that Kerry are just maybe a couple of weeks behind the training where they are at the moment?
Oh yeah, I think very much so, yeah. Very much so. I mean, their training has been geared all the way through for the championship, really. I mean, that's when they want to peak, you know. They're S&C coaches, you know, they're advising this is what we need to do, you know. Whereas last year, you know, the whole aim was probably we want to stay in Division 1 and do as well as we can, and they're probably an awful lot fitter than all the other teams in it, like, and ultimately they ended up, no, they kind of got to the final. You know what, for me, Kerry getting to the final this year kind of reinforced my opinion that they've got a very, very strong 20 this year, you know. So that, just come back to a point you made there a small bit back, you know, in terms of the bench and that's why I wouldn't be worried about the bench, because the bench contributed an awful lot to them getting to the final this year in terms of game time, etc. Like, because Kerry did shake it up throughout the league. They picked different teams for different games and different players in there, like, you know. So yeah, look, back to your initial point about their training, I think so. Kerry did look leggy yesterday, like, I mean, there's no doubt about it, they did look leggy. They didn't look as quick as Armagh, or they didn't look as fast as them. And people use the expression fit, but fitness is in all different forms, as you know. But Armagh definitely looked that bit sharper. They looked like they have more work done for this time of the year, you know, their aim is, was the National League Division One, was it Kerry's aim? No, we've been told consistently it was.
In fairness, the two boys have been fairly level about that, even from day one. It wasn't the case that they got into the final and said, oh Christ, we don't want to win this, all the way through. I mean, it was about building a panel, building a team, a squad, a stronger squad maybe, yeah, from the last couple of years to get through it. It looked, at the end of the day, I suppose it was a bonus. Obviously people are when you get to a final, more people will tune in and want to see Kerry winning the whole lot, but I'd imagine the bigger picture is yet to be painted, and hopefully it'll be painted fairly well. Listen, Dan, thanks very much for that. I was going to say you have a couple of weeks break, but you're obviously going into a Munster Championship that won't stop playing as well. So plenty of games to look forward to.
I'm looking forward to it now, you know, because I suppose, look, sometimes, you know, a defeat like that is going to hurt. Like, any defeat in the national final is going to hurt, so it's great to have something in the hurt locker going into a new championship now, like, and you know, something to prove wrong. You know, the lads and the team, they'll have heard a few comments around the place, I'm sure. You can't escape it, so it's up to them now to you know, put that to bed and show what they're capable of and show what they ultimately aim for the rest of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. As you look, as I said, championship's only a couple of weeks around. Dan Carney, thanks very much. Finally, Dan, is Mallow the coldest station in Ireland? What did you start yesterday?
Well, I'll tell you what, I went up to Mallow yesterday to catch the train. I drove up there because I wanted to get the late train down that night, and that's a long story. But I'll tell you, I was frozen. I got up there earlier, and for me it is. You know, they're all telling me that Limerick Junction is colder, but I don't know, I haven't experienced that. But yesterday morning, I was glad to get inside that train, I can tell you.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully you won't have to go to Limerick Junction any day soon, and stay on the Mallow one. Listen, Dan Carney, thanks very much. We'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, staying with Jay for a moment, if you're out there in Ballydunahoe, the 1959 North Kerry champions, there you go, they won it in 1959. We mentioned on the build-up, of course, to the North Kerry final and the proud tradition they have. But anyway, on April the 12th, out there in Coulard Clubhouse in Ballydunahoe from 8 to half 9, as part of their 40th anniversary of course, that wonderful magazine, the Ballydunahoe Parish Magazine, they're inviting people in the door to, I suppose, look back at the memories and celebrations and what a great year from the 1959 legends, and I presume there'll be some fantastic stories. Everyone is welcome, and of course you'll get an old tea or sandwich there as well, and maybe give old Jim Finnerty a ring there on 087 386 7366. That's something to look forward to if you're out in the North Kerry. And if you want to do something a bit more active, why not have an open training session with the Tralee Rugby Club ladies. We've had them in numbers of times here, a fantastic bunch, on April the 10th and April the 12th are the next at 7:30. Just bounce in there to O'Dowd Park, and they will certainly take care of you. As I said, they're running 4 open training sessions, 2 are gone already, and they're open to any girls moving up to senior level as well next year for the club, and the training will be on 7:30 in the rugby club, and as I said, I'm sure you will find a home there as well. Now, a team finding its way, and what a month it has been actually for Kerry FC, since our last monthly catch up, of course, with Dermot Kearney. Conor McCarthy's side are just absolutely flying, maybe not winning as much as they want to, but they're not being beaten either. They're finding their way through the league, picking up their first win, of course, last Friday evening, and we have to put on record that Dermot Kearney only said they'd win 4 points. How many did they get?
Well, they got 7, so much better than predicted, in fairness.
It was much better than predicted. The performances were much better than we predicted too, weren't they?
They were, you know, I suppose going into the Cove game, I believe that's when we last caught up. I think we were talking about the Athlone game and then going into that Cove game on the Friday night, which was the next draw, as you want to call it. I think we're slowly becoming the masters of the 1-1, except for the game up in Finn Park where it finished scoreless. But no, performances have been better. You know, Kerry have just, they've had that bit of their teeth this year. You know, they've started taking the leads in games. They've started to be a bit more composed. You know, UCD away, you know, UCD, absolutely fantastic goal to take the lead. But Kerry, you know, they stuck to their guns. They managed to get a goal. They held on for the draw against a team they've never played before, who are, you know, a previous winner of that competition and have played in the Premier Division, although, you know, they did get relegated last year, but they still have a squad packed with quality. But no, they have been very good, and, you know, all those results accumulated to the first 3 points of the year. And After 23 previous attempts, they finally got over the hurdle of getting the first league home win in Mountauk Park.
Mm-hmm. Before we go on to that, because that's his start, go back to the UCD one, because the amount of points, and I'd say we dropped from winning positions where we were 1-0 ahead, and we had that game against Bray where we were ahead and we fell back. The UCD one for me changed it, because this was the one that we all of a sudden, it was our first time playing in Dublin. You're right, UCD, the history will tell you they won it 3 times. Like the Proud Academy, I mean, it's everybody's kind of go-to place starting off in the whole lot with UCD. But the fact that we came back and got that draw, how crucial will that be maybe at the end of the season?
I think it just goes to show that the perseverance and the bottle that the team are going to have this year. You know, they could have capitulated in games last year where they took, you know, a team went ahead and completely lost the control of it, and, you know, 2 or 3 goals went in by that stage. It happened against Wexford at home last year. It happened against Waterford as well. But I think just showing that you know, they are that more competitive this year, and teams are starting to see that Kerry are a lot different of a prospect than last year. You know, of that block of games, that was the first game that Kerry actually went behind in. They've led in every other game in that block. So it was the first time that they actually went, okay, we've conceded first here. Now we need to pull up the socks. And they did it. And, you know, we might say they should have scored a second goal in that second half.
Was it offside, was it? Very close, wasn't it?
It was very close. From Adam's angle, the Kerry photographer, it looked on, yeah. But the linesman indicated that it wasn't. But look,
the flag went up quick enough, though. You know, there was no kind of big doubt about it. And I suppose it was just kind of, God, you know, what could have happened?
I think it reminded me of the Treaty game. Probably thought Ryan had scored in the final 15 minutes of that game, but the flag was up there as well. It just was like, look, yeah, you win some, you lose some.
So they get the draw, they get all their draws, they come home, and then the pressure is on Kerry FC slightly different, because I think for the first time people went to Mountauk Park expecting Kerry to win, expecting us to beat Longford, expecting us to do well. And a lot of people went there for the first win, and a lot of people were, I suppose, rewarded historically, because they can say they were in Mountauk Park, whether it was 700 or 800 people, or maybe in years to come, it'll be 7,000 or 8,000 people can all remember it. But it was a fantastic win in atrocious conditions, and they busted from start, didn't they?
They did. You know, like, I suppose we always say that there is pressure on them to get results and everything like that. But as you say there, I think people were expecting it based on the form that Longford have not won a game since September last year in the First Division.
Which is amazing when you think about it, because when you think of teams on bad runs, you automatically think of Kerry FC, but that's a terrible run.
Yeah, Longford only finished a few points above Kerry in the league standings last year. I suppose, look, with the way teams got 3 points against Kerry last year, Longford did have a couple of fruitful games against Kerry, but when you look at this year, that was something that Kerry wanted to turn around. They wanted to get the home win. People were excited, and, you know, so many people turned out on an absolutely terrible Friday night, but they were rewarded for it, as you said. And, you know, Kerry, they attacked early. Beautiful first goal by Sean McGrath, his 50th appearance, Kerry's 50th competitive game as well. He's played in every single game in a competitive nature for Kerry FC since he made his first start last year. And, you know, you're 1-0 up, but then you're thinking, well, what's going to happen next? Then Ryan Kelleher gets the second goal. Kerry are 2-0 up going into the break. Or maybe in uncharted territory to score more than one goal in a game, as we have seen over the last block of fixtures. But
at half time, when you're 2-0 up and you're Conor McCarthy and you're sitting inside, and the players must be giddy. I mean, everybody's giddy at that stage. 2-0, everybody's got a mighty, are we going to blow it? We were here before, we lost, whatever it was. What does Conor McCarthy tell the players at this stage? He didn't put them in a defensive mode to lock it down and defend it. We did continue to attack and create chances. But what do you think is going through his head at that stage?
Look, there's only 45 played. There's still 45 to go. It's not one and done, you know. You might be 2-0 up, but you still have 45 minutes of football. And, you know, Kerry were ahead in games, as I mentioned last year, and they blew the lead in it. They have had that instance this year where they have taken the lead in games and they have conceded. There was that jitter of, you know, after the half an hour, Kerry are most likely to concede at that stage. But no, I think it was just all about keeping the shape, making those subs at crucial intervals that just maybe brought a few fresher legs into it. And, you know, for large spells of the game, it's, you know, it's still 2-0, it's still 2-0. The pressure might have been still with them. But I think when Kennedy Ametchi got the third goal, I think everyone could collectively take a little bit of a sigh of relief and go, okay, we're 3-0 up. I don't think anything's going to happen here that's going to not see us take 3 points.
Yeah. We're getting a lot more secure than we were last year as well. The new goalkeeper, Tute, at the start, maybe a couple of jittery kind of performances, maybe, but he's really kind of nailed it down and he's become quite safe in that sense. Spain outside him is a massive, massive player. Captain Leeds understands how, I suppose, League of Ireland is played. And then all of a sudden you have a whole pile of, I suppose, Kerry-based players who went through a season last year. They're in their second season. They're not novices anymore at this stage. They are learning on the job, but they're learning very well.
They are. I suppose, look, you have to learn from experience, and it might have been a baptism of fire for a lot of those players last year to get used to the League of Ireland, get used to senior soccer, the way that the League of Ireland works, the way the first division is played might be a lot different to what they've done in their academy days, their schoolboy days, everything like that. But no, the likes of Antonio Tuta coming in was always going to be a big signing, someone who has that experience, someone that was going to be someone that Kerry could rely on to give them that hand in games to maybe snatch a point. I look at that UCD game, absolutely phenomenal performance. I believe that was probably the game that he got the nod for the team of the week this week in the League of Ireland First Division. Was still strong against Longford. They didn't really threat as much as what UCD brought, but those games, Finn Harps as well away, his former club, he was fantastic up there. You need players like that, but the likes of Andy Spain at the back, Kevin Williams, been very strong. I would really have been impressed with Sean O'Connell at left back this year. I think he's been a phenomenal, well-deserved goal against Wexford as well. Very, very good strike by him. But no, those Kerry players have really been the fulcrum of the team. They have done it. You know, Sean McGrath, he's had his academy days before. He did play with Cove, obviously went into the Kerry setup last year. He's played all 50 games and he's grown week on week to be one of the first names on Conor McCarthy's team sheet come Friday night.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Right, so the way the league goes, of course, it's kind of four quarters and you kind of play four rounds as such. You replace two home and two away. We're at the end of our first section. We've nearly got the same amount of points as we ended up last year with, so we're probably ahead of ourselves. We're still, what, seventh in the league?
Eighth.
Eight, okay, right, okay. Another one down. But there's teams behind us, which there's two teams behind us, I'd imagine. How do we approach the second set of games now? Like, we've got so close to most of those teams, we've got draws against them, so those 1 points have to be kind of turned into kind of sneaky wins here on the road and a whole lot. Have we the ability to kind of add an extra 8 points or even maybe more again in the second round of nine games?
I think there is. You know, Kerry they're unbeaten in their last seven competitive outings, so confidence very much is at a high with them. I know, look, they're only taking a point here and there, but it's a lot better than what they were taking last year, as you mentioned there. Do you know, we've played nine games of this season already and Kerry are 2 points shy of their points haul from the entirety of last season.
Mm-hmm. So which is amazing when you put it into its entirety, to think that, you know, we've 25% of the season done and we're nearly at where we are. And even if you were going by the laws of averages and you got 8 points, everything, you're on thing for 32 points plus, which, you know, that seems like huge territory. But I think this team is better than a 32 point plus season.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I think, you know, they can get the results. You know, last year the likes of Galway and Waterford were a lot stronger than most teams in the league. They were too good for the first division last year, and I think, you know, but the way Kerry had to find their feet last year, had to find the squad, had to get that core group of players, it was going to be a testing venture for them. But when you look at, like, we say the league table now after nine games, Kerry are on 8 points and Wexford, who occupy fifth, which is the final playoff spot, are only 3 points ahead of them, and they've got that little bit of breathing room having beaten Treaty United on Friday, who Kerry will be playing this Friday night. So they're not a whole lot, they're a lot away from those teams who were contesting for playoffs last year, who would have beaten Kerry last year. We talk Wexford there, the 6-0 win in Mountauk Park. But when we played them just in that block of games, it was a 1-1 draw. Kerry, of course, taking the lead in that one. But they are that little bit more competitive, as you say. It's just about maybe grabbing an old sneaky win here or there, or turning something into it. But I think they do have the confidence just trying to keep lads fit now. And I think with the way Conor has set up the current formation, he's happy with the way the team is running.
Mm-hmm. Talk to us about our options up front, because obviously if we're going to win games, we need to start scoring, and we have started scoring, and we do score in games, and most of the games are 1-1. We have the nil all inside there as well. We seem to be creating, I suppose, more structured chances this year, whereas last year maybe we were on the back foot and we were kind of on the counter-attack, the odd time or something might come off a corner, or a remarkable amazing goal was scored from the halfway line or something. But there seems to be a lot more structure to our attacking set up this time.
There is, I suppose, with the way that the formation has worked this year. I think when we went up to Finn Harp, I think there was more of a defensive game plan in mind, going for a five back because of mm-hmm. the way Finn Harp's playing. I think it's a very tough place to go, so I think Conor was focusing on being a bit more defensive. But with the way that he has been setting up the team this year, the likes of Daniel Akute playing on the right. Daniel has been absolutely fantastic this year. We spoke to him a few weeks ago and he's very much enjoyed playing on the right of that attack. Now he can play up top as well, but he does find himself playing out wide, suits him that little bit more. You have obviously Ryan Kelleher, who maybe at the start of the season was just trying to find his feet. Obviously that penalty miss, I think, really knocked his confidence, because he wasn't really finding the back of the net. But you know, he scored the second goal the last night. He's had a few chances, he's got amongst the goals as well. On the left, you know, Kennedy scored the last night. Nathan Gleeson is an option there. We're still waiting for Valeri Dalia to come into the team.
How big an impact will he have? Because I remember when he was signed, I mean, people were saying, oh, wow, real quality here. We haven't seen him, obviously injured or sitting out for a while. Is there a wow factor there? Or?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think anyone who saw him play for Athlone against Kerry last year will know just how good he is and how much he will offer that team playing on that left wing. He's got, you know, tremendous pedigree. He has been a phenomenal player. I was looking at him last year and I said, you know, this guy can easily apply his trade in the Premier Division if someone wanted to sign him. And when I seen that Kerry were getting him in, obviously losing Leo was a huge, huge loss for Kerry. Probably just one of the standout players in the First Division last year, rightfully so, deserved a move to a Premier Division club in Galway. But Valeri, I think when he gets into the team, it might take him a little bit of time to settle. So maybe he might just, you know, maybe struggle at the start just to kind of get used to playing with Kerry and setting things up. But no, I think when he gets into that team, he will be that exciting prospect in that regard. So no, look, very impressed by Valeri when he was playing last year. I think he will bring a lot this year. But Kerry have done very well in their attacking. The likes of Sean McGrath playing as maybe that cam role in behind Ryan Kelleher, just playing around that midfield as well, and even just the midfield lads, the likes of Stephen Healy, Darren McCarthy. The way that Kerry have functioned with the four back and then the two midfielders, maybe the holding role in the midfield and Sean just ahead of them, absolutely fantastic. They just have there's that positional play this year. They just seem to be locked on more so than last year.
Mm-hmm. Right, let's get to the good stuff. Let's have a look at the next five games. Even I'm going to revise my figure upwards from four. Have we two wins in the next five games?
Let's see. Friday night we've Treaty United at home, where, you know, Treaty beat Kerry 1-0 at Mount Hawk Park, and Kerry will feel aggrieved that they didn't get at least a point out of that game. Going back to the Markets Field, wasn't a happy hunting ground for Kerry last year, and Treaty are in very good form in the last few, well, I say good form, they have lost the last three games.
But they've kind of fell off a bit. They ran off at 100 miles an hour, but they're still in a great position. I mean,
they
obviously
are.
You don't know the way you can lose a game. Everybody can lose a game, or depending who you play, of course. But they're certainly in the top three or four anyway.
I suppose of the next five fixtures, you say, look, you're away to Treaty, you're home to Athlone Town, it'll be in the Kerry's next home game on the 19th of April. You're away to Bray Wanderers after that, and then probably the most eye-watering tie for Kerry FC supporters will be on the 3rd of May, Kerry taking on Cork City in Mount Hawk Park. First time Cork City will come down and play a competitive game against Kerry in that venue. And then just a few short days later, it's Longford Town away up in Bishopsgate. So that's the next five games. Maybe you look at taking something from...
So we have three away games. We have Treaty, who are in decent enough form away, difficult enough to beat. We have Bray, which is a notorious enough place to go out to the Seasiders out in Bray. And we have Longford away. And depending on how we, what kind of way Longford are in, I'd imagine that that's one that we should be targeting anyway.
Yeah, I think so. I think maybe that long, that Athlone Town game at home as well. Athlone are just a point ahead of Kerry in the table. You do want to beat the teams that are ahead of you as well. So that'll be something that Kerry want to. Bray can be an interesting one. Bray are a very good team, but they have shown this year that maybe results don't go their way. Obviously, they had a fantastic win against Athlone Town the last day, but they've lost to Harps, they drew with Cove, they drew with Longford, and they had an absolute sensational 7-goal thriller against Wexford that they ended up on the wrong end of a 4-3 scoreline. So we left them
off the hook, didn't we?
Yeah, I think that night in Tralee will be something that Conor will say to the lads when they do go and play Bray, that look, we really, really lost the run of it that night. And it was a game that, you know, Kerry led, then they brought it back, then Kerry led again, and they absolutely capitulated, conceding 2 goals and left without a point that night. So
yeah, and they needed the points. So go on, answer the question, how many wins? Or we'll go back to points. Treaty, will we get a draw?
I think based on Treaty's form at the moment, I think Kerry can snatch something. Maybe, as you say, a sneaky win here or there. We could see it in the Markets Field this week, but if Treaty can get a good crowd in and can get supporters behind it, it's very hard to predict this league at the best of times.
Athlone, all our Kerry FC Athlone contingent heading back home to Athlone. Can we get a result there?
I think Athlone, if Athlone are going to push on and they want to get into the playoffs, they will want to start getting back to winning ways. Obviously, as I said, they lost their last game. They did beat Treaty at home. Away form for Athlone has been a little bit hit and miss this year, so I think they might struggle against Kerry.
Give Kerry a draw.
I'd say we might get a win out of that. I've a funny feeling. God. Yeah, I'm going to say a win.
Bray, you've wrought him off against Bray, surely, have you?
I think based on the home tie, I'd be happy with at least a point in the Carlisle. It's a tough venue to go to.
Cork City, an easy 4-0 win for Kerry.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. we'll rattle the Cork supporters early. Look,
that's a big ask.
That
in itself is a memorable occasion, I'd imagine. Hopefully, we do the best. But you never know. I mean, at that stage, you've given us a draw, a win, and a draw. We're in a great form. Another draw, possibly our first loss in that run.
I think if Kerry can get a draw against Cork City, that'd be absolutely massive. But look, there is the gulf between the two teams. Look, Cork are a phenomenal team. They're coming down with the intent to go straight back up. They're previous champions of the Premier Division. They spent last year in the Premier Division and came straight down. Look, they want to bounce back. They have some fantastic quality in their ranks. Loads of young lads coming up as well as the more experienced players. Jack Doherty back in Mount Hawk Park could be another painful sight for the Kerry supporters.
No,
we don't like Jack Doherty around these parts.
Jack, yeah, he can certainly find the back of the net in a hurry anyway. Longford in at the end of that run.
I think unless Longford start pulling up their socks and taking results, as I mentioned, they haven't won a league game since September of last year. They're on a poor run of form this year. Obviously, they lost to Kerry on Friday night. I think unless they start pulling up the socks and getting the results, I think they're going to suffer another defeat to Kerry.
Another defeat to Kerry, so we're giving them a win. So by my reckoning, we have 2 wins, 2 draws, and I lost to Cork. So you're saying 6-8 points in the next 5 games.
Yeah, sure, why not?
That's double what you predicted in the last...
Look, 7 games unbeaten at the moment. Kerry are on the rise. We could be going for playoffs yet. We never know.
Absolutely. Listen, it's hugely exciting. And we will be back to you in 1 month's time. I have everything written down here. As I said, if you can double what you're predicting, we'll be in the playoffs, I'd say, come the third quarter of games.
We could win the league title yet. You never know.
Title. Yeah, super. Listen, Derek Carney, thanks very much. After the break, we catch up with Tomás O'Shea.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, on Wednesday evening, the Kerry under 20 footballers begin their campaign to defend their provincial title with an away trip to Clare. And it's a much changed team, of course, from last season, which will be captained by Bale's Rob Stack. And earlier this week, I caught up with manager Tomás O'Shea ahead of the opening round to get his thoughts on it.
Tomás, new year, new season. How are preparations been going for you?
Geez, weather aside, Donal, it's been good. You know, I think it's difficult. We We had the same thing last year. You know, it's a group of players where they're being pulled and dragged for the last 2 or 3 months. We had a few lads involved with Mount Talk. We had fellas involved with colleges. And look, it is difficult, but it is what it is. You get the lads basically for the last 3 or 4 weeks. And we're looking forward to it. It's kind of hard watching every other team already in it. Cork and ourselves will be the last two teams in the country into the competition, but at this stage, the weathers are getting, or the evenings are getting longer, and we just want to get involved. That's it.
And I suppose the way the weather is going, I suppose it's probably better maybe to stay out for those extra 2 or 3 weeks, particularly probably when the other teams are playing on poor pitches at the minute.
Yeah, it's very, very difficult. Like, I mean, every county in the country seems to be affected by it at senior level and underage level. Some years, I don't know, last year and this year in particular seemed to be very, very bad. But look, teams are getting on with it. Hopefully the weather improves in the next 2 weeks. It wouldn't take long for the pitches, I'd say, to harden up. So if we've got a good week or two, I think it'd make a huge difference. And, hopefully at that stage anyway, you'll be on the better pitches as well.
Mm-hmm. Very briefly, I suppose last year, the Sligo result and the whole lot, I presume it's still in the memory. I mean, I suppose on the day it seemed like a big shock. Was there a few lessons learned, a few tough nights?
There's nothing worse than playing championship and not being able to do anything about it until the following year or anything like that. It was a tough one to take, and it was very disappointing for the lads. We thought we prepared well for it, but we just didn't execute on the night, and we didn't perform on the night. And when that doesn't happen, you're not going to win. We had enough chances to win that game. I felt we defended well enough to give ourselves every opportunity. We gave away one soft goal, and look, that's it. Don't you know, you the way the game is gone, you're going to have to be able for every sort of style of football. And look, on the night we struggled again with it, and it's something that I suppose you can say it's bothering us because you don't have the same group of players again, but I suppose as a management, you know, you'd have regrets about it.
I suppose some of the positives, of course, under 20, it's about developing players as well. How pleasing is it when you see the likes of Keith and Killian and Armin all kind of pop up quite handily and fit in seamlessly into the senior panel?
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me because they're very, very good footballers, right? It was great to see Armin Heinrich lately talking out and playing very well over in Clarnie as well. They're physically all there, Donal, at this stage. All those players, when they're coming in, when they're finished at under 20 level, and it was under 21 level and not back in our day, and we still had a bit of filling out to do, but these fellas are ready to go. And it's great that Jack gave them that opportunity, and it's great experience for them. And when you consider that it'll be another 2 or 3 years before they properly blossom, it looks well, and it's, you know, one or two of them will push the championship team, I'd imagine, and that's a great sign for us.
It's interesting, I suppose we're in our school holidays at the moment, both of us. It must feel like just going back to school for a lot of new faces, probably in as well, probably bedding in for the first time. How have they been going?
Very well. I said the same last year. I think it's as honest a bunch as I've seen. Great lads, great work and great togetherness with them. They've done everything we've asked. They are young. There's a lot of young lads there. There's a good few Mount Talk lads that had a disappointment in the All-Ireland final, but had a tremendous year overall. And look, we'll have a young squad this year, but some very, very good footballers there for the future. And I know we want to win, and we do, but it is about bringing players through as well, and I've no doubt that a lot of these players will do very well for Kerry in the future.
The challenges for players coming through now at this level, I mean, they've never been more immense. You mentioned it there with schools and colleges and exams, work, business, I suppose, the whole lot. It's the age group as well gone backwards. Is it harder now to be an under 20 than it was maybe back in your day?
I'd say so. I think there's just more football. I don't ever remember it being as busy in January, February as it was, as it is for these fellas. It's very tough, like. And then the championship was never during my exams either. And it is for these fellas, like, and, you know, middle of May, and they'll be studying and under pressure first year, second year in college, you know, and they'll want to get their exams. They don't want to be going back repeating. It does seem to be like it's busier. Like, we'd have, on an average week, we'd have 3 nights with the lads on the pitch, and they do another night than themselves. So I don't think I was ever doing four nights a week when I was even with seniors. So it is. It's gone to that level. We try to get the balance right with them. We try to make it as enjoyable as we can for them. We know that everybody's been pulling out of them. We have them now ourselves, hopefully, for the next few weeks, which is great. You get a lot of work done. But it is. It's tough. It's tough going on them. And we try to consider that as well. We fellas in Dublin, we fellas in Limerick, we fellas in Cork, and we all travel and meet here, and you know, they're putting in a huge effort.
Mm-hmm. I suppose finally, maybe to get away from, I suppose, the next night, you were a 3 year under 21 yourself. I remember well because we followed you around the place because James Shea was with you and the whole lot, and we went to all sorts of places. Your first visit in Hill above Anina when you lost to Meade, maybe it was a 14-13. I think I remember that was the first time I really roared at a referee as well. He was from Donegal, the poor man. Can you draw on those experiences when you do team talks with the players, or has all that moved on really?
I think it's all moved on. Like, I mean, you'd learn from everybody, and I think the motivation comes from within. And if they're motivated to do it, then the bawling and the shouting, like, there's always room for it at some stage, you know. But it's not, you can't go bawling and shouting at them every night, you know. It's not going to work. They're not going to listen to you, and they'd be right not to. But I think it's come on an awful long way. I think football, I know people complain about the defensive stuff, and there might be an awful lot of defensive stuff, but I think that's changing as we see it, and we all try to play as quick and direct football as we can. And I think a lot of teams are doing that now. Even, you know, teams that were ultra defensive are trying to move the ball quickly. So look, I think an awful lot of things haven't changed. You know, you're still representing Kerry. It's a special feeling to get a Kerry jersey, and I think that's still there, and I think the lads appreciate that, and I think there's still that hunger to do well, and that little bit of pressure, which isn't a bad thing either. So a lot of things have changed, but then an awful lot of other things haven't changed. They've stayed the same, and I hope they do.
Absolutely, Tomás, isn't the very best look in the year ahead.
Thanks very much.
There go, Tomás O'Shea, looking into season number 2 for the Kerry under 20 footballers, of course, and they are provincial champions. I love the way he says there's not much room for bawling and shouting at players, but there's also a little bit of room for bawling and shouting. And his views on the defensive system, of course, kind of saying there's a lot of it around the place, but they're trying their best to play quick and direct football as they can, and hopefully you will get to see a lot of quick and direct football from this very talented bunch of Kerry under 20 footballers as they begin their campaign next Wednesday, of course, with an away trip to Clare. And big congratulations as well to Bales Bob Stack, the North Kerry man, of course, captaining the side, in which will be, I suppose, you know, it's an exceptionally proud moment for himself and his club and his family, and Bale with a huge tradition, of course, with Kerry. After a break, we will talk basketball.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, the Garvey's Tralee Warriors prepare for national finals. Not one, but in fact two. And they're coming, of course, this weekend. And of course, it's the under-20s. They're looking to defend their title. We had them on, I suppose, at the back end of last year. And all the excitement of winning it. And delighted to welcome Eddie Sheehy back as well on that team. Captain, of course. And he's joined by Joshua O'Sarian, who is on the under-20 team. But he has two finals to look forward to, because he's also on the Warriors Development League team. And they're poised to make history as well, because they're looking for their inaugural win in that league, and they face off against Carrick Cruisers on Sunday. And sure, nothing would happen in the town if we didn't bring Rick Leonard in with his coaching, his advice, and his looking into the games. Guys, delighted to have you on board. It's great to be looking forward to. I started with you, Rick. I mean, last year we all know the brand of the senior team, and you said last year that the most important thing to sustain that is to have more troops and more Warriors coming through at different levels. You had them coming through the under-20s last year, you won that. I asked you at the back end of last year, would you get back into the final? You said it was important for us to get back into the final because we needed to build on what we have, and now you have a Development League side in the final as well. So
yeah,
everything seems to be flying.
Everything seems to be flying at the moment. Like, we do have a good group of young guys there coming through on the back of the under-20s. So some of the guys then that were on the under-20s team who were too old this year now make their way onto the Development League, which is a league that was developed by Basketball Ireland just to give those guys kind of a bridging gap. A gap bridge there to, you know, maybe Division One or Super League, you know, but they might not quite be ready yet.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have Dan Boyler, you know, Adam O'Keefe, a few, anyone else on the, yeah, from the under-20s team last year.
Yeah.
On the development league, and then some of the guys that were right on the fringes of being on the Warriors Super League team that are under 23 now. Our whole development squad is under 23, so you know, it's still, they're still quite young. Mm-hmm. So hopefully in the next year or two, you know, they could be trying to make their way into the senior team.
Yeah, and of course it is unique because in the old days there was just the senior team. I mean,
yeah,
you know, you went at under 12, under 14. You kind of, if you were still hanging around at minor, you kind of made it in the back door, and if you got stuck, you start and the whole lot. But there seems to be by Basketball Ireland a real kind of player pathway kind of way now for players to fit in, and if clubs buy into it, and Garvey's Truly Warriors have certainly bought into it, that you can have an exceptionally group of under 20s, and it's like you said, where do those three or four go, and the development league sorts that. So what you really have is a massive amount of players,
yeah,
locally in a playing pool that are good enough to be at a national standard, be it 20 or development.
Yes, that definitely, and you hit the nail right on the head when you say locally. Like, I think all our players, you know, from bar the Americans that's on the senior team, are from Tralee.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing in itself, you know, all the way up from under 20 up to the senior league, you know, they're all, you know, from, they're all local. And as you say, you know, we've kind of bought into that development process as far as developing the young guys, and hopefully, you know, next year or the year after, they may be ready to step up and play their part on the senior stage as well. The likes of Donaghy, you know, Fergal O'Sullivan kind of retired last year.
Mm-hmm.
Donaghy, you know, Quicks, and these guys are, you know, they're. You know, they're getting
time.
I won't say old. I won't say old, but you know, the wear and tear is, you know, is there, and you know, they've had long careers, and I'm sure they'll be, you know, we hope he still stays around for another year or two, but you know, hey, it'd be great. He's a great inspiration for the younger guys, but you know, we have that good group of guys that hopefully in the next year or so will be ready to step in and fill his shoes.
Although big shoes. Eddie Sheehy here could be the next Kieran Donaghy, could you?
Eddie Sheehy, he's on the panel, on the senior panel, and you know, he made good use of the minutes and working out and training with the guys on the senior panel. Josh came along towards the end of the year and played well. He played well throughout his school with Mount Hawk. Won championship there with Mount Hawk, and again, he's, you know, he's one of our key players on both under 20 and the development league. So, you know, I'm hoping for, you know, for two MVP performances this weekend from him.
No,
don't put any pressure on him, guys.
No pressure at all.
But look, like, you know, he's that type of player, yeah, even for a young player. Young
Eddie,
fella,
so. You were here last year. Talk to us about heading into a final, being the defending champion. Last year it was all new and exciting and the whole lot, but now there's a target on your back and teams are getting closer, but still not good enough to take you out of it.
Yeah, I suppose it's, last year is probably better and easier to win because we've never done it before, kind of thing. But this year, I suppose, being defending champions is kind of a bit harder, as you said, more of a target on our back. Like, we went undefeated last season, and this season we've only one defeat. So I kind of, when we lost that one game this year, I was kind of like, oh, you know, we might not do the same as last year, you know. But we kind of sneaked our way into the final somehow again, like, and hopefully we can do the same.
Yeah, the team bond as it goes along. Last year, the team bond you won as you went along, and I'd imagine that the bond was good because of that. Talk to us about that defeat, that little blip. I mean, what was it like having lost that? I mean, do you go back to the gym and say, God, we need to try harder, we need an extra 5% or 10%, or do you kind of look around and say, I could have done better myself, or what do you reflect on when you take a loss like that?
Yeah, I suppose there's always things to think about when you lose a game, like, but we know kind of group of guys that we have, like there's just the full 12 on the team are good players, like, you know, like, there's no kind of bad points, you know. And obviously, like, Josh coming in this year, like, he wasn't with us last year. Like, Josh is 2 years younger than me. Like he's another 2 years under 20. Like, I feel old playing with him. Like, do you know what I mean? But
you're definitely smaller than him. Yeah.
And Josh and Olaf and just a few other guys that weren't there last year. Like, but Olaf in the States. But like, yeah, team bond is unbelievable again this year. Like, it's just kind of a chillax mood in training and just around the group. Like, there's no one gets kind of wound up. Maybe me sometimes, but that's it really. But yeah, I suppose obviously team bond, even you need team bond to win these games, like, because if you don't kind of stick together in the bad moments, you're not going to win much games in the National League. Like, it's
semi-final, you just need to win by one usually. I mean, but it was fairly tight, wasn't it?
Oh, it was reckless tight. Yeah, I suppose Limerick, we played Limerick in the club under 20 not so long ago, and they beat us. And obviously St. Brendan's is mostly the Warriors on under-20s, and but we'd know Josh against him. But yeah, it was a packed Motherwell gym. I've never seen Motherwell so packed in years, and but like, we were down 20 points in the first quarter, and we thought, people probably thought, oh, we're a goose, do you know? But I suppose, look, we always put it out of the bag some way, like, and we managed to do that, innit?
Mm-hmm. Is there more of a reward when, like, you're down 20 points, you're down 6 points with a minute 10 on the clock or whatever, and you can pull that way now? Does that kind of give you an air of kind of invincibility or something, you know, when the buzzer finally goes and you're ahead on the clock?
Yeah, I suppose when you're down by that much in basketball, I suppose, like, basketball can change so fast. Like, it's like you could be up 10 points, down 10 points, like, it, do you know what I mean? It goes so fast. But yeah, I suppose it's better winning by a point, because it kind of feels more rewarding. Like, I'd rather win up by a point than 10 or 20 points. It's kind of boring. You're going to want a bit of excitement. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
Rick doesn't
it gives the coach a heart attack. I had to disagree with that. You know, I was on the sideline sweating myself as I didn't play.
Many years left to him, so he can't deal with one point anymore. Come here, Joshua. You're new. What's it like for you to bounce into a team that has that winning mentality already? Obviously, you're a big part of the jigsaw. What height are you again?
6'7". 6'7", yeah.
He says very modestly. Is he 6'7", or is he more?
Probably 6'9". I don't know.
We'll have to measure him after. It's a massive height. Come here, it's a basketball height as well. Where did you fall in love with basketball, first of all? Where does that come from?
I started off with Trinity Tigers around the age of 12. I was playing every sport known to me. I was playing soccer, rugby, and none of them really did it for me. And the gate came around to my school, and they were giving out flyers, and I decided, you know, why not? I haven't tried basketball yet. And the students I started playing, I just kind of fell in love with the game, and I started playing more and more. And I kind of plateaued a bit, and I wasn't really getting that much better. That's when I found John Dowling and the Warriors and whatever, and I decided to transfer over, and it's been taken off ever since.
Mm-hmm. And it's been a very quick journey as well, because you're coming in at 12, obviously. You do the whole under 12, under 14, that kind of stuff, and people will see you and say, God, the height of him and the whole lot. But does that mean that your skill level has to get up to that level of expectation? People look at you and they say, God, this was going to throw baskets all day long, we can't defend, he's probably a great rebounder. Is there more pressure on that sort of a kid when parents are looking in and saying, God, I'm mighty 6'7"?
Yeah, you just, like, you have to work extremely hard. Like, people think that it's just you have height and that's it, but you have to work extremely hard to make sure, you know, all the areas of your game are covered, and make sure that you live up to the standard people have of you in their head.
Mm-hmm. So, what's the hardest aspect of that? What was the hardest thing for you to develop on? What was your skill that was the one that John Dowling pulled you aside and you have to work harder on this and harder on that?
I think I kind of zoned out a lot during games, because, keeping it honest, the standard I was playing back at Trinity Tigers wasn't all the greatest, so I didn't have to stay, you know, locked in for all four quarters. So when I came over and made the transition, I had a habit of just, like, zoning out mid-game and missing assignments and stuff, which is still a habit I have now. Mm-hmm. But you know, I'm still working on it, but it's getting better slowly.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, you're on the two teams, you're on the under-20s and you're on the development one. We'll talk about the development one after this break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee.
where being local means coming home.
Now you're very welcome back, and of course we're looking ahead to the Under 20 and the Development League finals in basketball. Of course, and Tralee-Garvey Warriors are in both of them. Under 20s, of course, looking for back-to-back titles, and the development side heading into, I suppose, unknown territory really. It's an inaugural year as well. I was talking to Joshua just before the break. Joshua, you're in both teams. What was your path to the final like for the development?
Be honest, yeah, I didn't really find it all.
He zoned out, didn't he?
He zoned out.
I didn't really find it all too difficult. But, you know, we as a team, you know, we've gone through ups and downs during games and whatnot. And we've kind of have to find a rhythm throughout the season. But now I think we're in pretty good shape. You know, we just came off a win against Ongar, who are pretty good. You know, I know a couple of the players from playing against NABA, but it's been I wouldn't call it smooth by any means, but it's been relatively okay so far.
Does the training change then you get to a final? Are you working on your opposition? Are you looking at videos? Are you saying, God, yes, this is the guy we have to mark, this is the kind of play that they kind of traditionally go to, this is the person we'll have to pick up, or maybe I might have to change my own game? Is this all the kind of stuff that goes on in the background? Because obviously running laps around the court isn't what you're going to do the week out ahead of a final.
Yeah, you'd normally scout opposition, you'd scout their best players, scout the players they want to attack, scout their offenses, their defenses. And also there's a bit of accountability on the players to do their own bit, because you can't expect coaches to do 100% of the work. So personally, I like to watch games that they've played. I like to see where I personally can, you know, attack their defense and make sure we get that win.
So you're sitting at home on your laptop with your headphones on, and rather than watching YouTube, you're watching a game maybe three or four times in a row, watching a particular play, see how they play. Because basketball is, after a while, it is that kind of routine stuff, you know, people have go-to plays and the whole lot. Eddie, as I said earlier, probably more pressure on going into a final that you've won before. What would it mean to win a second one?
Oh, I mean, the world, to be honest. Like, after last year, like, the excitement of, like, the whole Under 20 thing after last year, after winning, it was unbelievable. Like, and I suppose we lost a lot of players, kind of too old, Ivers and Daniel Bowler and all these lads kind of moved on, but there's only, I think, only four or five of us from last year, so it's kind of a new team, so they're kind of, they don't really know how nice it was to win last year's one. So yeah, I suppose it would be brilliant to win another one. Two in a row would be classic, so yeah.
Looking at the opposition, obviously you're sitting at home probably watching them as well. Do you know much about them? Have you played them before?
Yeah, we played them early on in the year with St. Brendan's in the National Cup, and we beat them without Josh, funnily enough.
We're saying Josh stay at home, is it?
No, bring him. But no, I suppose, like, Tala, like playing in Tala, like, it doesn't matter who you have, it's all kind
how
of
how often have you played in Tala?
Too many times.
Oh.
Too many times. Schools. Oh, yeah. Too many times.
Talk to me about the schools, actually, because that's a huge impact as well. We talk about the clubs, of course, and we kind of forget the great work that goes on in schools and the amount of national titles that are won in schools. Mount Hawk, CBS, Tralee, maybe the whole lot, depending which one you went to. Can we say CBS, Tralee, can we? No, we don't. Mount Hawk. Okay, we'll go back to Mount Hawk. But the journey with the school really marries itself with the club, because you're all the same age group. I imagine you're the same gang playing all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I went to Mount Hawk myself in first year. I was supposed to go to their school, and we had a tournament to Mount Hawk, and John Dowling kind of said, will you come to Mount Hawk? And I was like, okay, like, I didn't really care, like, you know. I care, I love basketball, but like, I absolutely adore now, like I, like, it's just constant, like, this year, like, playing the Super League and stuff, like, it's constant just basketball, and you have to be looking at, as Josh said, about scouting teams and all this type of stuff that you wouldn't probably be doing as much of when you're younger, do you know. But obviously John Dowling, who is a Super League coach now, he was my coach for 6 years in school, and I've been to, like, I think 8 finals. I only won one. I've been to 8. And Garrett Moore, who was my club coach at the time, is assistant coach of the Super League for the Warriors. So yeah, and obviously you play with the likes of, like, I played with most of the guys in the Under 20 Warriors team with schools, and I played against, like, the Green boys, say, and all those boys, and I played with both of them for club, I'll say. So, like, we know each other very well, so yeah,
it's all important. Rick, you were obviously, I suppose I won't say a generational from back that generation, but...
Two generations now, come on. Ryan is playing, my son is now playing, was playing before he got injured.
I was trying to be nice, Rick, give me a break.
God, say it like it is.
You've been here a long time.
Yeah.
When you arrived, you knew there was a kind of a culture of basketball and the John Tehans and all these people of this world, but it's gone to another generation and now there's the Eddies and the Joshuas and all the Stephen Bowlers and all this gang as well. That must be kind of a bit of pride in you when you sit back and somebody say you're from Tralee and they say, oh yeah, Tralee, they're good at basketball. But that's all built on the generations that went before, passing it to this gang. I mean, you have Eddie here saying, listen, I won one last year, but I want to win another one.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. I mean, you have another guy here who spends 3 hours in his bedroom watching matches just so he can win that 2 points or get that throw or win that rebound. I mean, that's a huge cultural thing. It results are great, but the culture of basketball, particularly in Tralee, it's very strong.
The culture of basketball is unbelievable, man. I show the guys sometimes, you know, some photos of when we played and the crowds and the fan base. Again, we can't talk about our fan base enough. The way they support the under 20s, the Development League, the Super League. I mean, there's a lot of basketball to be supporting,
nights, yeah.
and the nights on Saturdays, and sometimes we play on Sunday. You know, it could be on a Friday evening, so we wouldn't clash with the Super League team. But the fan base is unbelievable, and the culture of basketball around town is. It's crazy now. Like, I've been here over 30 years, and, you know, look, we had a couple of dull moments, you know, 10, 15 years ago, but since we've been back, it's been nothing short of great. Like I said, we have 30, 40 guys. Between the 20s, the Development League and the Super League team, there's about 20 to 40 guys there that can play basketball, that wants to play, that want to win, and want to embrace that culture. I mean, you know, we had guys on the development squad that were kind of on the, like I said, on the fringes of the Super League. The twins there, Aaron and Padraic Fleming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Derek Connelly went to the States, came home. Stephen Boyler, he's playing both on the kind of getting a few minutes on a Super League team and doing his best with us here. It's huge. And I must give even a shout out to MTU. I coached the MTU team and we won the league and were promoted for the first time to Division I this year. And unfortunately we kind of ran out of steam a bit this weekend in the varsities in Limerick. We lost in the semifinal, but you know, those guys and all those guys, bar two players on the team, are from the Warriors kind of setup at some under 20s Development League and rap played at the Super League. So, you know, I think that's the next stage, mm-hmm. as far as cultural wise, seeing if we can get guys to stay and go to college here in Kerry. I know, like, Josh is heading to America this year. Look, it's a huge step. My son went to America, and if anybody has the opportunity, I'd say go for it. But, you know, if you have to, you know, choose a college, or, you know, if you're staying in Ireland, you know, we hoping, you know, at this stage now, we're hoping that people try to stay in Tralee and go to MTU. But, you know, like the likes of Josh has a very unique opportunity, which is getting less unique nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
But, no,
well, it's
he's
less unique in the Warriors court, yeah. because he had four at one stage going off.
Yeah, like I said, Ryan went off and he graduated last year. He came back this past year and was having a fantastic season until he got injured in the Cup semifinal. Derek Connelly, Kane O'Sullivan came back this year. So that's four of those guys now that came back kind of last year in recent times. And now we have Iris is over now in the States, and Josh.
Another generation.
Yeah, and Josh will be hitting over soon as well.
God, are you on a finder's fee or something, are you?
Nah, man, we just look, as I tell the guys, I just want what's best for them. You know, whatever decision they make, I'm happy to help along and, you know, and give them as much advice as I can about it. You know, and I think Josh and Iris and those younger guys are fortunate to have guys like Ryan rap that they can bounce off, mm-hmm. that's been there, that's yeah. done it in the States, because it is different. It's a different culture. Yeah. Like basketball is a huge culture here, but in the States, it's basketball. You're talking, you can almost play 24/7.
Yeah.
You know, every day of the week, where, you know, the guys, you know, we might get two nights a week here, a game at the weekend. You know, basketball season in college is 30 games.
Yeah. It's every second night, nearly, yeah. maybe more.
Yeah.
Finally, Eddie, I want to ask you if the speech prepared. Will you make a better one this year than last year?
I don't know. I didn't make much of one last year, right?
Like, I asked you that last year and you couldn't remember making it. We leave that alone, okay, because obviously, look, we don't want to tempt fate and the whole lot. You have the game to go ahead and win the whole lot. How would you prepare between now and the weekend?
I suppose just kind of, obviously we're training Tuesdays and Thursdays. But guys are in college and stuff, so it's kind of hard for everyone to be together. Like, but Easter was last week, so it was kind of handy because we were all together and stuff. But I suppose just focus. I suppose is the most thing, really, just locking in with what needs to be done the weekend. Like, obviously it's a massive game, like, and it's something great to look forward to and tell. Like, and it's kind of the weekend of all the finals, like the women's and the men's Super League are playing after us, so there'll be a lot of people there. Like, and yeah, it's great to win it. Yeah.
St. Paul's are up at the weekend too on the Clarny side, the women's. Usually trust and big shout out to them as well. They had a fantastic season. Finally, Joshua, what's in the week for you? Are you going to relax a bit, watch more video?
Yeah, probably watch a bit of film. Get my touch on the rim right. Maybe just watch some, get our plays down, make sure everything's good on my side, and then, you know, that got you the rest.
Have you a lot of family support and supporters and all that travelling up with you?
I'm not sure if my parents will want my siblings.
Brilliant.
Yeah, my siblings might.
And sure, you have all your Warriors family as well, looking after you as well. You'll be fine. Listen, Joshua, the very best of luck. You're a fantastic young fella. You are in two finals, of course, aren't you?
Yeah.
Dear God. And Eddie, you're just in the one. But is this your last year, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. So next year you'll be sitting there in the development looking for two in a row, and we'll find somebody else. Uh-huh. And Rick, I suppose you'll still be here, will you? No place to go.
No place to go at this stage. We must say, as you said about the guys watching video or whatever, we must give a shout out to the coach, the head coach of the under-20s, and then the assistant coach. We kind of have reverse roles there, who is the videographer, who will have all the videos and the clips in the group for the guys to watch, and that's Luke. He couldn't be here tonight, but he's the guy that does all the video. I'm not quite adept at cutting the video.
You're still old school.
Yeah.
Come here, Terry O'Brien, an old school guy as well, phoned in. Actually, most people send texts, but Terry rang to make sure it was, and he's wishing you all the very best. To look, of course, a very important part of the Tralee Garvey Warriors family as well, and he says a lot of hard work has gone in to reach this stage, which we certainly do not doubt one bit, because you cannot get to a national final. You can't wing your way to a national final, can you, Eddie?
No, not a hope.
No, God almighty, not a hope. You might manage it maybe in the county or something, but at this level, you certainly can't. Listen, guys, thanks very much. The very, very best of luck.
Thank you.
And sure, you never know. She might bring in an old cup next week or something for us.
Well, we might bring. Or bring two. we try to bring two.
Two positive cups and two MVPs. Listen, guys, thanks very much, and thanks for joining us on Terrace Talk.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, Kerry schoolgirls team recently competed in the Costa Brava Cup, and of course we were totally blown away by it, what happened and the whole lot, and we got a few headlines. We were told that Sive O'Halloran was voted the goal of the tournament, and then we were told that Niamh accepted a cup, and Una was a vice captain, and we had loads of bits and pieces, and we said, listen, we don't have any full story, so we decided to invite them all in the company of David McIndoe, which I can't wait to ask him where he got that second name anyway, because that's certainly not O'Shea.
It wasn't from Kerry,
absolutely further field. David, maybe set the train in motion, the Costa Brava Cup. What age group is it for? Where you had to travel for it? And what kind of teams? Because I was looking at the names of the teams he played, and dear God, they're names that jump out, and I'd say, yeah, that's a senior international
there
team.
There was a couple of senior, a professional team from Sweden there. That's who we played in the final.
Yeah.
Two
Gardens, yeah. I mean,
they were serious.
Name.
They were top class, to be fair. How it all came about, Colin Murray first of all contacted me at the start of the season last September, mm-hmm. just to see would I come in and get involved with the girls, which I was delighted to do. He then informed me that they were to be taken on a trip. Last year's under-15s went on a trip. So that was my worst nightmare, nearly, to bring a team away.
Yeah.
But I have to say it was an amazing experience. We just Googled tournaments, really. Looked for one in Spain as best we could. And found the Copa Brava, and I have to say it was a fantastic experience out there.
Yeah, and of course, to explain it further, I mean, like, it's a team that's already playing their league games and the whole lot, and you're picking players from that into a squad, and you're bringing them out for maybe the next level of whatever competition that will be at home or in,
yes,
in,
that's exactly it. Yeah,
nationally,
yeah.
So you're kind of marrying a bit of kind of. Putting a team structure together, you're kind of bonding a group together, you want a good experience, you want a good couple of results, and sure, who doesn't want a nice bit of sun?
Well, that's we got a little bit of sun over there. We got a little bit of everything. We had a bit of rain, we had a bit of sunshine, didn't we?
Yeah.
So, but, like I have to say, overall, it was just an amazing, amazing experience, and I recommend any team, club team, county team, anywhere to experience this, because it was exceptional.
Yeah, well, we better get the proof of it. Niamh Fitzgibbon, you're welcome. Where are you from?
Tralee.
Oh, God almighty. You don't play basketball, no?
No.
Oh, okay, so we can't talk about basketball, but you do play soccer?
Yeah.
Who's your club?
Park.
How long are you playing?
2 years.
Away. What attracted you to soccer? Why did you say soccer? What's the attraction there?
Well, I think my dad like said it to me first because he knew his friend's daughter that was doing it. But I didn't have any interest in it at the start until my dad made me go. And then I liked the trainings, so I had a bit of fun there. So I kept it on.
Yeah, interesting. You use the word fun. I mean, most people would say training isn't fun. You mentioned fun. So part of the attraction and the glue to stick you onto where you went to was that fun aspect and maybe friends.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. Not scoring goals or saving goals or winning games or
definitely scoring, but initially it's always just fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fun brought you in. Your teammate is Una O'Shea.
Yep.
Hello, Una. Where are you from?
I'm from Inchicore.
Oh, the other side of the world. God, Inchicore has a huge tradition in soccer down, and great women as well playing it down through the years, winning an awful lot. What was your introduction into soccer?
Well, I only really started because my brother was playing it, and then my mom got involved, so I had to stay.
Oh my God, there was no spin home. You had to watch it. And can you remember your first couple of trainings and your first matches and all that?
I can.
Go away. Tell us a story. Who do you play?
I think one of my first games that I played was against Listowel, actually.
Oh, and she looks across the table at her Listowel colleague, yeah.
And I remember I just really enjoyed it because we were running and then eventually we did lose, but
I'm sure you were ahead for most of it.
Yeah.
18 Larkin, obviously the Listowel girl giving away. Listowel Celtic, huge tradition of soccer above there, male and female, going back an awful long time. Lot of fantastic people up there as well, doing an awful lot of work. What was your start off?
Well, my brother really liked soccer, and my two uncles, they were big fans of Liverpool. So I kind of asked to start with Listowel because they liked it, so they kind of influenced me to do it as well.
Brilliant. And off down to Listowel Celtic, got your first couple of trainings in. Can you remember your first game, maybe?
Yeah, it was against MEK.
Oh, wow. You had to jump all the way back over to Mead and East Kerry, is it?
Yeah.
Outside Fossa there. Did you play at home or away?
We played away.
Oh my God, in the backfield in Fossa, maybe. What was that like?
It was nice. We won it, so it was good.
So you remember your first win?
Yeah.
You surely won your first game, did you?
Yeah, it was against Finet and it was like 9-2.
Right.
Yeah.
Rub it in, why don't you? 9-2. Yeah, good stuff. So basically what we've established with you girls is that you all play it. You've played with your clubs, you play in the county competitions, and then it's a case of putting a squad together, Dave.
So we had trials the end of September. So we over 40 girls come in for trials over 3 different Sundays, and then you've the difficult job of trying to pick 18 from that. But I think we did the best we could. I had,
and it is difficult because I mean at this stage when you pick girls are all in different developing growth of skill levels and the whole lot. But you're picking what is there at this moment in time, and it doesn't exclude anybody, because I mean, come around the next cycle, somebody gets better.
I've been to watch a lot of under 15 games this year. I'm very lucky because I'm from Killarney, so I can go up to MEK or Master Gaeha or Celtic or Athletic, and I can see all the matches from close to home. And there are girls there that didn't make it at the trials who I was like, wow, they have come on leaps and bounds.
Absolutely.
And you just hope then that they'll try again next year.
That's part of the game, and it's part of the sport. I mean, you can only take a panel and X and Y. So you have your panel, you're all sorted, and then all of a sudden somebody gives you the directions and you're off to Spain.
And we're off to Spain. Now, I have to say, Jane O'Donoghue is the logistics manager, basically, for the Kerry School Boys and Girls, and without her, genuinely, we wouldn't have gone. She had everything. If you saw the portfolio stuff I had to bring with me, it was amazing. And Dave Slattery and the management committee, they were excellent. So anything we needed, they sourced it for us.
And of course, the other side of the coin is that you get there and you're playing Duke Gardens and you're playing other big names, and they're looking at your crest and they're saying, Kerry,
not a clue who we were, I'd say.
But they do have a clue now when they're going back to Sweden, because there's probably some Swedish Donal Barry and Terrace Talk over in Sweden tonight talking to their thing, and they're saying, we played a team from Ireland, and they'll say, oh, did you play Dublin? And they'll say, no. Did you play Cork? And they'll say, no, we played Kerry. So you're spreading that kind of, you know, we're doing our job over here, and the soccer is that international aspect to it anyway. Girls, you finally get there. 18 Larkin down the middle from the Stoll. First game, can you remember it?
It was against a crowd from Denmark. Another professional team, I think.
Wow, good stuff. And how did you know that they were professional when they went out in the field against you, apart from maybe the coaches telling you that this is a big team and the whole lot? I mean, obviously they had only 11 aside as well with you, but what was different about them?
The way they played, like looking for the passes, they were very alert as well, and just overall a good team.
Wow. And how did you get on against them?
1-2-0.
All right, so they weren't that good, were they?
No.
What was your second game?
That was...
So you beat the crowd from Denmark.
That was Berlin number two.
Okay.
It was 7-0.
Wow.
Yeah.
To them or you?
Us.
Oh yeah, absolutely, very confident. Did you get a score?
Yeah, I scored 2 that game.
Wow. Who scored against the Danes?
Michelle O'Connor and...
Me.
Oh, you got 1 as well, did you? And who scored the 7? You got 2.
I got 2. Sive got 3.
Sive O'Halloran, we give 1. Her a whole title. She's a very important person over in Kilcommon, you know that.
Who got the other one? Here. I think Gracie did.
6 is enough. So that's 2 games down. Next game?
We played a team called SPGV or something from Germany again.
All right, now German.
There was a lot of German teams at this tournament.
And what's the standard of those teams then? I mean, obviously when you're winning 7-0 and 2-0, but you're talking about different styles and meeting teams that aren't your norm as such. And
yeah, the first game again, the first game with the 2-0 win, that was very tight. Mm-hmm. The 2 goals we scored, I have to say, were kind of exceptional from our side. Like the passing and the movement and the ball played through to Niamh was just as good as you can get. And the 7-0, that was probably the weakest team probably maybe in the tournament, I'd say. Yeah. They just struggled. But we were, I have to say, passionate would be a good word for it. The girls didn't give anyone any moment of peace on the pitch. They were always chasing down if we lost the ball. They were, as soon as they won the ball back, we try to open up the play, so we're getting the ball down the wings and through the channels, and that team just couldn't cope with it.
And is tournament play different, Dave, then? Because you have your pen, you're playing your 11 aside, you bring on your couple of subs, the whole lot, and you're getting kind of a sniff of being competitive, and you're winning 2-0, and the next thing you have your 7-0 game, and it's kind of game after game, and you know, you're probably different challenges, because if you're playing with Kerry and you play one game on a Friday, you mightn't play again till maybe Friday week or Wednesday
once,
week,
once
whatever.
Once a month, generally.
So it's a big weight. So, I mean, at this stage, you're playing game after game. So can you see the players getting better in front of you?
100%. There's no weak player on the team. That's the joy I have, that I can start any girl. I've maybe 2 girls for nearly every position, and you wouldn't be afraid to put anyone on. So everyone got, I think, more or less fair enough game time while we were over there. It is hard to juggle that.
Yeah.
But I am very blessed that way, that the 18 girls that did travel were amazing. There was one girl, she had blisters on her heels the last two games, and she still wanted to get out there and play for 20 minutes and give it everything until she couldn't walk anymore. So that's the kind of girls you're dealing with.
Now, of course, you had loads of fun out there, had you?
Yeah.
Have you got loads of fun stories, have you? Might I say Niamh is writing down fun stories for me there at the moment. So hold on to your fun stories. We'll take a quick break, and when we're back, we'll talk about the fun side of the tournament.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now we're in the company, of course, of the Kerry Schoolgirls team that compete in the Costa Brava Cup, of course, in the company of David McIndoe, Niamh Fitzgibbon, Una O'Shea and Aileen Larkin. Of course, they're well spread across the county as well. Niamh Fitzgibbon sneakily tells me that she's the captain here. Aisling Falvey's cracker of a free kick. How good was it?
Unreal.
Tell me unreal. You have to describe unreal.
Like, it was past, almost near the halfway line. Okay. And she just...
Wow, she's far out, so...
Like,
who got fouled for it?
18.
18.
18 got fouled. Okay, you're doing all the hard work, was it?
No.
Got fouled, okay. So you get fouled, ball down. Aisling sets up, puts the ball down. She's close to halfway. That's a long way out, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
What happens? There's a wall, obviously, is there?
Yeah, she just put it over everyone. It was over the goalie and everything. It was just, she put it off black and then they couldn't stop it. She's too high up.
My God. What's the feeling on the team when you see a goal scored from a free kick like that? I mean, obviously people score fantastic goals, but from a free kick, I mean, that's like a David Beckham country, really.
Yeah, we're all just screaming. Like, we just ran on top of her. We were just screaming.
Oh my God. Una, there was Saifa O'Halloran scored, or she was voted for goal of the tournament, so she must have scored a better goal again, did she?
Yeah, her goal was amazing.
What was her goal like?
I think she had gotten it from a crossing.
Yeah.
And she just took one touch and she fired it and it went straight into the goal.
Wow. How was the celebration like after that?
It was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say not do by half. David, you're the second year a girls' team has gone. I mean, you're starting kind of a nice bit of a tradition now. Obviously, you know, the gang last year went, so now we have a gang this year, and obviously you will be looking ahead to next year and the whole lot. And there's people sitting at home tonight and saying, God, that sounds great, and the whole lot, and obviously they'll train a little bit harder and you pick the whole team. But now you're setting kind of a culture in train. How important is that?
Oh, massive. For us, for my coaching style anyway is just to be as honest with the girls from day one. And basically, if you do that and you tell them that you have to work extremely hard to play at county level, they buy into it very quickly. We also did strength and conditioning classes inside Be Well Fitness in Clarny with Neilis.
Oh, yeah.
And that brought us on leaps and bounds. We did about 10 or 12 weeks of that, didn't we? And I have to say, there was a huge step up in performances once we started doing that, because it's a vital part for them. So yeah, if you create the right culture, I think if you're honest with the girls and you tell them it's not going to be easy, but if you work hard, you'll get results. And now they're seeing the fruits of their hard work, really.
Yeah, and that'll push them on.
And that pushes them on
as well. 18. Who are the gang singing in the hotel in Spain? Us. What were you singing?
Any kind of a song.
Sure. Oh my God. Commenting here, of course, from somebody who probably either was there or heard the story. Brought the hotel to a standstill on their last night, standing room only.
Yeah, definitely.
My God. So you had your own private concert after?
Yeah.
Is she a good singer?
Me?
No, you're sure. You're probably the best singer, being the captain. But is Aideen any good?
Yeah.
Yeah, will we get her to sing a song now? That really mortified her, was it? No, we won't do that. We won't do that. But what we will do is we will ask you about your Kerry season, of course, because obviously you're kicking on to that now at the moment. Are you looking forward to that, Aideen?
Yeah, we have a Munster final on Sunday now against Limerick County, so...
Brilliant.
Hoping to win that.
And how many games did you play to get there? And
We played three games. We played Limerick County,
Wexford
and Kilkenny.
Wow. Kilkenny City or Infant back in the day, they were a big soccer team. So you're in the Munster final. Are all the crowd in Kinmare ready to go?
Yeah.
Buses, cars, tractors, everything travelling?
Yeah. I think my dad's going to go up to it. So.
Wow. When you go home and your parents and your family and your neighbours and you say to people, I was over in Spain, we were participating in the Costa Brava Cup and we're in the Munster final and the whole lot. How does that go down?
Yeah, I met lots of people there and they were all very supportive. Yeah. And they were happy for me.
Yeah. But do they say, what do they say? Do they say, that's the girl over there that was in Spain, or when you go into the local shop, or are you getting celebrity status yet?
No.
A little bit off that. How about Liz Dole? Should they have definitely made you a celebrity, have they?
No, maybe.
Maybe. Liz Dole, of course, Savannah McCarthy. You've heard of the legend of Savannah McCarthy, have you? Fantastic soccer player, made it all the way through. Very unlucky not to go to the World Cup last time with injury as well. Fantastic. And a fantastic role model for Liz Dole Celtic. Great footballer as well, actually. Would you believe it? She captained the Kerry under 14 footballers to an All-Ireland title as well. So she was bouncing back and forth. Have you got that as well? Have you got football and have you got soccer and have you got camogie and have you got other sports going on in your life?
Yeah, a few of us play county football and a few play county camogie as well, so there's a good variety of sports as well, and like, that plays into soccer as well because we have different stuff showing us you can put that into soccer as well.
Absolutely. And of course you're staying fit all the time if you're out playing so many different sports. Does it get hard though sometimes that, God, I have football tonight and I have camogie tomorrow night and I have soccer the next night? I presume there's a bit of a drain on it, is there?
Yeah, sometimes they might clash and you have to choose one, which is hard sometimes because you like them both the same.
Mm-hmm. What about you? Do you have a couple of different games on the side of your football as well?
Yeah, well, I'm only playing football with Nigel, but like last year was all, you know, Kerry football. And sure, lots of the girls last year were on Kerry soccer and football, but like it's kind of you either pick one or the other now this year, or next year especially, it's going to be pick one or the other.
Yeah. It gets to that stage, of course, David, doesn't it, at a certain age group where you kind of travel down the road of as many sports as you want, basketball and running and the whole lot, and you kind of have to pick and choose maybe what
direction. I think once they get past their junior cert, they really... I've been involved in the girls' game for a long time, and I see it that there's a drop off once they get past that, because girls, as much as they love sport, I think they focus a lot on their education as well. And I coach at my club team is Clarence Celtic, so I coach the under 17s, and we've seen a massive, massive drop off, and there's no getting them back either. They're fixated on it, so it is changing slightly. Up to under 16 level, the numbers are massive all around the county, and below the numbers are growing, especially in the girls game. It's humongous, like, plus the pitches, like Kinmare have just opened an Astro, the Park have an Astro, Celtic have an Astro. It's so training never gets cancelled, do you know, that kind of way.
That's like the football at the moment, they can't get a pitch, you have it and you have your own.
I've had phone calls off of clubs looking for pitches and they just can't get them.
God, the amount of money you could make, huh? Ask any price. Come here, Una, are you watching the national team, are you?
Yeah.
Tell us about them at the moment. I mean, they're in a massively hard group, aren't they?
Yeah, they're doing very well though.
Yeah. 18, the Irish team at the moment. They lost 1-0 to France the last night. Difficult result. Played very well, of course. Who are your favourite players off the team?
Of course, I really like Katie McCabe.
Oh my God, everyone likes Katie McCabe. Why Katie McCabe?
No, she's really strong. She's good at moving forward.
She's a player that kind of really rolls up the sleeves and gets stuck in and wins the dirty tackles and drives on and drives her players on as well. She's kind of an iconic player, really, isn't she?
Yeah, she is. I like to be like her as well, you know, being physical as well. So
who's the Katie McCabe on your team?
18.
Oh, is it?
Oh, that was easy.
And she's left footed as well.
And left footed as well. Yeah. Well, I might say you might be taking her place in a couple of times. Niamh, I mean, as captain, I mean, captain is a great honour. I mean, you go out and you're the captain of a team, you're an international team, you're out playing. When you first got word that you were going to be captain, were you like, so what? Or were you kind of, my God, that's an awful lot of responsibility, or I'll do my best? Or what was the attitude when you got it?
Well, I was really, really happy because I wasn't expecting it at all, especially how I played last year. I wasn't like playing a lot or anything, but I feel like I've proved myself and, you know, being able to be a leader to all the girls, I really enjoy it.
Yeah. Does she give good team talks?
Yeah.
Does she give out?
No.
Really? I don't believe that, does she? So if you're 2-0 down at half time, like, you might give out a little bit, would you?
In a respectful way, I'll say that.
Oh, very good, in a respectful way, yeah.
My God,
yeah.
You close the room and you give out.
Huh?
You wouldn't be closing the room door and giving out to the players, though?
No.
I suppose you can't really, because players kind of know when they make mistakes themselves. Yeah. And I suppose at times they don't need to be told when they know themselves what's happening. They know the mistakes. And when you're at the county level, every player is at that level, which is hugely important. Dave, the Munster final.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. I think the Spanish trip will definitely stand to us.
Yeah.
It's on in Care up in Tipperary, so it's a nice pitch up there. Limerick are very tough. We played them once already this season. They're very strong.
And I'd say have big playing numbers as well. I mean,
they would, and a bigger catchment to choose from. And they were away themselves. I saw on their Facebook page they were actually away as well down in a tournament. So they did well enough in that as well. So it will be a really good, entertaining game, I hope.
Yeah.
All I ever ask is the girls is just to give it everything they have, and whatever happens at the end of it, we'll take it.
And finally, as before we wrap up, of course, I mean, there must be a few people you need to thank along the way as well for helping. I heard that you had two amazing chaperones as well, had you?
Oh, we had Nora Falvey, so Aisling Falvey's mother, and we had Geraldine Lennon, and without them, the trip wouldn't have gone ahead. It's as simple as that. They were absolutely brilliant out there.
Were they hunting you to bed every night, weren't they? Is that what chaperones do, is it?
Yeah.
Enough singing now, girls, after bed. You're playing some crowd from Denmark in the morning, is it?
That was basically it, yeah. Phones taken off him and gone. Colin Murray came out with us at the last minute. My coach at Kerry couldn't make it, unfortunately, Bianca. So
Did you understand him? He's from Cork. Like, did you have any clue what he was saying to you?
A bit, yeah.
He was a bigger child than they were.
Fair play to him, yeah. He does a lot of fine work, actually, to be fair to him, along the way. He's doing all his exams and everything with the whole UEFA thing. He's probably going to be the most qualified coach in Ireland by the time he's finished.
Yeah, he's amazing, though, I have to say. I actually learn a lot from his being with him and experiencing how he deals with situations. And
fair play. Listen, we've learned an awful lot from you this evening. Niamh Fitzgibbon, fair play to you. You'll be back again sometime, will you?
Yeah.
That was easy, wasn't it? And you're a captain as well. Uno O'Shea, say hello to all the folks down in Kinmare.
Hi.
Loads of them. Are you Kinmare now, or are you two sister Banan or somewhere like that?
In Kinmare.
Oh, you're Tony.
Yeah.
Oh, good stuff. Okay. And Aideen, sure, you have so many people to talk to about out in the Stoll Celtic. Remember Savannah, of course, along the way as well. And sure, you never know, our next Katie McKay might be sitting here at the table. What you reckon? Yeah, right, Sish, you are. 5 years' time, you'll be back with us. Listen, that was tonight's show. Thanks to everybody, Dan Kearney, Dermot Kearney, of course. Best of luck to all the three Garvey Warriors as well as they prepare for their two national finals. And the very best of luck, of course, to our current guests who are in the Munster final, and it's above in Care, and they're taking buses and tractors and everything from there all the way up, and hopefully you'll get there as well. David McIndoe, thanks very much, and keep up the good work. Up next, it is Talks Us. Big thank you to Keane and Ivan this evening on production. Fantastic as always, and we'll do it all again next week when we have the draw for the under 20 Kerry Football Championship.